www.ChristianCommunity.com.
I'll just fill in the blanks. But I will ask Scott a favor. Can you just run back and grab me one copy of notes that I can follow along with? I have them in my own thing, but because we don't have the normal stuff, I want to make sure that you get them, because filling in blanks is really important for some people. Okay, like some people are like, I can't leave. I don't know what that blank was this morning. So that's Scott. See, I did this just for Scott. So I'll have him bring one up for me just to make sure that I don't miss anything. Thanks, Scott. All right. Hey, thanks again for just kind of rolling with things this morning. I promise we'll be done by lunchtime. So as long as lunchtime is not until 1 o'clock for you. So, just kidding. All right, so this morning, I want to start with this, just a little story. For some reason, my kids got hooked on the TV show Full House. How many of you remember that show? How many of you liked that show? Okay, I don't think I ever liked that show. Now, I've watched it recently, and I know I don't like it now, okay? I can tell you that. I don't think I liked it back then, but for some reason, my kids got really hooked on that show. And I'm talking like not, you know, my girls are eighth grade to a freshman in college right now, and I'm not talking about like they got hooked on it like 5 years ago or 6 years ago. I'm talking last year. And they're watching rerun after rerun of Full House, and I don't get it. Okay, I don't get it. But there was an episode that came on, and it made me think of it in regards to our message this morning. And there was this episode where Michelle ordered an Action Rigby toy. Okay, anybody remember that one? If you remember that episode, if you watched it? Okay, so Rigby was a rhino, Rigby the rhino. And it was like the equivalent of Barney, okay? So, but, you know, he did all the goofy stuff, and he was a rhino. And she saw the advertisement for this, you know, Rigby the rhino action figure, and she saved up, and he had to do like the whole mail order thing, and it came in the mail, and she was all excited, and she got this action figure that they showed, you know, doing all these amazing kicks and flips, and, you know, it looked huge against the backdrop that was there, and she gets it in the mail, and it's like this big, right? Complete disappointment. So she and Joey and a friend of hers named Denise go to this Rigby the Rhino appearance at the mall that day. And they stage a protest on behalf of all the little kids that got their hopes and dreams smashed by the disappointment of this little action figure. Big letdown for her. It's a sad excuse for a toy. And of course, it all works out wonderful in the end. Did any of you ever get burned like that? Where you ordered something? Nobody's going to raise their hand, I know, but just think about that. Did anybody ever get burned like that where you bought into something expecting it to be one thing, but ended up getting something that was not as advertised? I about 10 years ago, I was looking to buy my first iPod. It was the iPod Nano. At the time, it technically wasn't my first iPod. I had a Shuffle, okay, but this is the first one with a screen, and I was ready to upgrade. I was ready to go on this thing. So I started looking online. I'm like, I don't know, they're kind of expensive and so on. So I started looking on eBay. I thought maybe I'd find someone used and something used, and then I found this one, brand new, in the box, and the price was unbelievably awesome. Little too awesome, probably, to be honest with you, in hindsight. But I'm like, I'm going to take that chance. So I punched in my information, ordered it online. I'm waiting like 3 weeks. This thing still hasn't come. I'm thinking, man, I got scammed big time, right? Well, then it finally arrives in the mail. And my first clue that there was a problem is that it arrives in an envelope. Not a box. And it's supposed to be new and in the box, but it comes in an envelope, and I'm like, this is probably not good. So I tear the thing open, and I pull out the contents. No earbuds, no box, no instructions. And then I begin to unwrap the actual item from the bubble wrap, and I look at it, and it is not an iPod Nano. It is a total knockoff iPod Nano with a cracked screen in about 10 different places, and it does not even turn on, right? So I am totally disappointed. Eventually, I went through the whole process, got my money back and that sort of thing, but, you know, it was such a big letdown. And I think, you know, sometimes it's difficult to tell if the item that you're buying is genuine and authentic, right? Well, and if, of course, if you're buying, you know, an action figure or even an iPod Nano, the stakes are pretty low if it turns out to be a scam. But when it comes to our spiritual beliefs and our faith, it's pretty important that we make sure that what we're buying into isn't a knockoff of the real thing. Okay, so if you've ever wondered, well, how can I be sure, right? How can I be sure that my relationship with Jesus is the real deal? Like, I think there are some things that can really help us this morning as we take another step in the Supernatural series. So we'll get to that in a few moments. I want to review a little bit, though, because as we're in the Supernatural series, some of you might be just joining us this week for the first time. We're talking about spiritual warfare and the spirit realm. And just to bring you up to speed, last week we began working through a passage in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And if you're following along in the Bibles here, it would be page 979. And we're going to be ultimately working through verses 10 through 20, but just a portion of what we read last week. Starting in verse 10, Paul writes this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." We'll stop there for a moment. You know, we're in a spiritual battle, Paul is saying. We have a formidable enemy, and the stakes are really high. We need to be able to stand firm in our faith. That's a big part of spiritual warfare and the spiritual battle. But we also need to be able to press ahead with the gospel if we're going to be successful in this battle. So Paul commands two things in those verses. First of all, be strong in the Lord. Right? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You don't fight a spiritual battle with our own physical strength or on our own strength. We need strength from God. It takes a supernatural strength from God to fight a spiritual battle. And so we've got to get our strength from the Lord. So the first thing, be strong in the Lord. The second command that he gives us is that we have to put on the full armor of God, the whole armor of God. Okay? Here's how the rest of his description goes, starting in verse 13, and we'll go through verse 17. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Okay, we'll pause there. If you want to hold your place in the Bible, that's fine, but we'll kind of go from there, all right? So Paul uses this analogy. If he were writing to us today, likely his analogy of a soldier would be a little bit different, okay? He'd be talking about like night vision goggles and camo gear and 8K-47s instead of belts, swords, and shields. And I say that because, you know what, we don't want to get too hung up on the analogy, right? He's making an analogy here. He uses the word picture of a Roman soldier because that was a good analogy in his day. People would have related to that, okay? So here's the picture. Roman soldier would wear garments underneath their equipment, okay? In warm weather, they might wear a fairly short garment that would cover, you know, down to their thighs, maybe their knees. But in colder weather, they would wear a longer robe to keep their legs warm in order for them to stay warm. Then over that garment would go the belt. When they were off duty, they could loosen their belt, let the robe hang down, keep themselves warm. But when it was time to fight, right, they would tighten up that belt and they would tuck in the robe so they could run and move without tripping over it, without it encumbering them, right? And then they would fasten their armor and their weapons to the belt piece by piece. So the breastplate, the shield, the sword, those things would kind of go into place. But the first step in preparing for that battle was to put on that belt, okay? And that's where Paul starts in his analogy. And so Ephesians 6:14, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." Now, a more literal translation of these words would be saying, having girded up your loins, okay? He's saying, look, tighten your belt, tuck in your robe, and get ready for battle. Get ready for battle. Now, for us spiritually, that belt, Paul says, is like a belt of truth, like a belt of truth. I don't know about you, but whenever I hear the word truth, even when I'm especially reading in Scripture, it almost automatically, what comes to mind is the Bible, right? We talk about the Bible as God's word and as the truth that we follow, and it is, okay? Now, it could be really easy, though, to look at this passage and just say, oh, the belt of truth, that's God's word, right? Read it, let's move on to the next piece of armor. But let's remember something. When Paul wrote this letter, there was not a Bible like this. Okay, when he was writing these words, there was not the word of God as we understand it to be. There were the Old Testament scriptures, right? The stuff before Jesus. There were some letters circulating around the church that had not been yet collected and put into Bible form. There were apostles and teachers who were out there trying to instruct people in how to walk in their faith. Now today we have the advantage of having these teachings as part of our Bible and the Word of God. We consider that to be the God's Word and the truth to us, and it is. But that wasn't the case when they were reading this letter in the church. So he's not telling them, read your Bible. Okay, he's not telling them, just read your Bible. He's trying to help them understand, here's what a relationship, a genuine relationship with Jesus is supposed to look like in regards to spiritual battle. So when he uses this Greek word for truth here, it's aletheia, which means more than just a statement of fact. It's referring to straightforwardness and an illusion-free reality. Okay, one that's free from pretense and falsehood and total transparency. So I think we can describe the belt of truth this way. The belt of truth, here's the first notes, I think, unless I skip something, but here's the first notes up for you. The belt of truth is a genuine and honest relationship with Jesus. All right, it's about a genuine and honest relationship with Jesus. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, he's saying, look, we got to make sure it's the real deal and not some cheap knockoff version, okay? And we'll get to how we can do that in a few moments. But first, we've got to consider this. Why is this belt of truth so important? Why is it so important? Next blank for you. We need the belt of truth. It's important because our enemy is a deceiver, right? Our enemy is a deceiver. In Genesis chapter 3, we read about this a few weeks ago. We get the encounter of Adam and Eve and how they fell in sin because Satan appeared to them in the form of a serpent. He deceived them to fall into sin. So God had given them the whole garden and all of its trees for food to eat from, except for the one. But the serpent comes to Eve, and if we hear the words kind of in a little different tone, we can get the picture of what he's trying to accomplish, right? The serpent comes to Eve and says, hey, did God really say you shouldn't eat of any tree in the garden? Did God say you shouldn't eat of any tree in the garden? Did he really say that? Now, he knew that wasn't what God had instructed, but he was looking for an opening, right? A weakness. And so Eve responds saying, well, God said we can eat of any tree in the garden except for the one that's in the midst of the garden. Totally true. She was right on. But he said we shouldn't eat of that one or even touch it lest we die. Okay, now those weren't really God's instructions. God never said don't touch the fruit. He just said don't eat the fruit. It's a subtle difference. But you can see Satan's already created doubt. He's already gotten inside her head. He has her off guard. And she's vulnerable, so he goes in for the kill. And here's what he said. You're not going to die. You surely won't die. In fact, if you eat this fruit, God knows you're going to be just like him. You're going to know good and evil. That's why he doesn't want you to eat it in the first place. Okay? He serves her a flat-out lie. But she's already got things spinning in her head, and she runs with it. So she sees that the fruit looks good, figured it would taste good, and would make them wise. So she ate it, and so did Adam, who was with her. The serpent deceived her. The serpent deceived them both. He's a deceiver. That's what he does. Now, Paul feared that this would happen to us as followers of Jesus as well. And so 2 Corinthians 11:3, and this verse is right in your notes. He said this, "I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Okay? "I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Satan is a deceiver. He wants to lead us astray. That's why we need the belt of truth. Right? A genuine and honest relationship with Jesus. Now, if we're going to have that, it's going to require at least one thing that's really important, and that's this next blank here. We need to seek a true understanding of who Christ is. Okay, we need to seek a true understanding of who Christ is. Without that as a foundation, our relationship with him will not be able to be genuine and honest. Okay, let me give you an example of this. Okay, Colossians 1, 15 through 19. Here's what Paul writes to the church in Colossae. He said, "He," speaking of Jesus, "he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Okay, so Paul's writing these words to them, trying to explain this is exactly who Christ is. Right? And this is just this particular passage in Scripture, but he's saying, look, we need to recognize this as being true about Jesus, that Jesus is fully God, that he's the creator, that he's the one holding everything all together, that he's preeminent, which means he has the ultimate authority and he's supreme ruler over everything. Okay, now, if we recognize those things as actually true, it's going to affect how we live our lives, right? It's going to affect us in drastic ways. Meanwhile, the deceiver, Satan, is working to corrupt and distort people's views and image of who Christ is, including us. So he gets people to buy into a bad product. For example, let's take the first one. We need to recognize that Jesus is fully God. So a lot of people buy into the idea that, hey, Jesus was a good man. He was a brilliant teacher. He was a great leader. He might have been the kindest and most compassionate man who ever lived. He was an incredible human being, a moral example for anyone. But they will stop short of saying, but he was actually God. Right? See, there's a big gap between us believing and recognizing Jesus as being good versus Jesus as being God. Huge difference. Because if we don't believe he's fully God, then we don't really have to follow his teachings, do we? Right? They're just kind of optional. They're just kind of maybe a good idea. If we don't believe he's truly preeminent, meaning he has ultimate authority over everything, we don't have to submit to him. Why would we? If, as the Word of God says, he isn't the way and the truth and the life and the only way to God the Father, then that means, well, really, any path we choose is fine, right? Any spiritual path is okay. And Paul was constantly fighting against false teachers and false doctrines like these that threatened to diminish who Jesus was. Sometimes they were very obvious like this, and sometimes they take on a more subtle form. So maybe some of the more obvious would be this, oh, Jesus isn't fully God. You know, some people would say, well, Jesus was just a spirit. He didn't have a body. He wasn't really fully human. He wasn't fully man. Or Jesus is not superior. He's just kind of like an angel, right? Just kind of up there in the spiritual realm. But he's not superior to it all. He's not God. Jesus isn't really sufficient for all our needs. Right? These are things that he will get us to believe. He's a deceiver. There are other more subtle beliefs like, we believe Jesus is God, we really do, but he's just kind of disconnected and uninvolved in life. Right? Jesus, we believe in the Jesus who will never let anything bad happen to us. which is a real problem when something goes wrong. Okay? We believe in the Jesus who wants to make us wealthy, or the Jesus who wants to keep us always healthy if we just have enough faith. We believe that Jesus is my buddy, my pal, or my friend. He doesn't really care about my sin. All right? These are deceptions that Satan will get us to buy into. We need the belt of truth because Satan spreads these false teachings and these distortions about who Jesus really is. Okay, where in your notes you've got a quote here. It's from David Platt. He's another one of the authors and pastors who have been helpful for me in just forming this series. But I love this quote. And I know the first few words look a little weird, but hear it this way. We think that what we think about Christ doesn't really affect some of the details of our life. We don't think it connects, but it does. What we believe about Christ and who Christ is and our knowledge of Christ has everything to do with how we will live at work, at home, at play, at school, everything. It's driven by a true understanding of who Christ is. Right, see, where Satan succeeds in deceiving people and convincing them or us to believe his lies, it has devastating impact. It's why we need the belt of truth. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 5 says this, "The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have power to destroy strongholds." All right? The belt of truth, we need that weapon. Our weapons have the power to destroy strongholds. Strongholds in this verse. In this passage, it's the only time this word is used in Scripture. If you're like a spiritual warfare junkie out there and like think you've read everything about it and so on and so forth, a lot of people are really throwing this word around in different ways. So a stronghold, that's talking about like a place or a region where Satan has this grip on things and he's just messing with a whole bunch of people. Or there's a stronghold that a demon has a stronghold in this person's life. That's why they're struggling with alcohol or drug abuse or something like that. This is the only time in Scripture this word stronghold is used. It's not used like that at all. Okay? Just to be clear, a stronghold was a fortress with heavy defenses. And it's used here to refer to a false logic that we tend to hide behind. Okay, it's a place where a person seeks shelter from a false reality. Okay? Stronghold, our belt of truth is important against the stronghold. In fact, Paul goes on to describe strongholds even further. We destroy arguments, this is verse 5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So we need the belt of truth. Because our enemy is a deceiver. He's a deceiver. And we need to be careful not to allow subtle lies to creep into our thinking. It will ultimately get us way off course in life. And we need to be able to stand against false beliefs that will keep us and others from truly knowing who Jesus is. Okay, so here's the key question that we've been working to. How can we be sure our relationship with Jesus is a truthful and honest one? How can we be sure our relationship with Jesus is a true and honest one? See, here's the thing. The worst part about being deceived is that when it happens, we usually don't realize it, do we? That's kind of the whole point of deceit. You don't know what's happening until it's too late. So how can we avoid into a false thinking or false understanding of who Christ is? Well, this is going to sound maybe a little bit simple and maybe a little bit anticlimactic as we've been building up to this, but I think it's important. And here's the phrase that I want you to write down. Search the Scriptures and let God search you. Search the Scriptures and let God search you. How can we be sure our relationship with Jesus is a truthful and honest one? Search the Scriptures and let God search you. Okay, we search the Scriptures because by learning and discovering more and more about who Christ truly is, it keeps us on track. Right? Now, I did mention earlier, obviously, that wasn't the whole point of Paul saying the belt of truth, just read your Bible. Okay? But for us, we have this advantage of having the Scriptures to lead and guide us in our life, and it tells us who Christ is. It's God's word. It is truth. So It's there that we're going to get a true understanding of who Christ is. Okay, so keep seeking to know more of him. And don't ever think that you've arrived. You know, I mean, there is so much more that I feel like I have to learn about who Jesus is through Scripture. And, you know, I'm sure we're all in that boat. And so this is maybe just kind of saying something that's very obvious. We're never going to arrive. And even if we did, though, even if we could discover everything there was to know in Scripture about who Jesus was, we still need to be reminded of it because we will lose track of that. Right? So keep pouring over the Word of God so you can better understand who Jesus is and who you are in him. So search the Scriptures and let God search you. Right? In Psalm 139, and this verse is in your notes, but David writes this, and this was after a really difficult time in his life where he made a lot of bad decisions. But on the other side of it, he writes these words, and I'm just going to put verse 23 there. We'll actually look at the full thing again next week because it's relevant to next week too. But Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Right? Search the Scriptures and let God search you. One of the best things we can do to find out if there's anything false in us is simply to ask God to show us. Right? Spend some time in prayer asking Jesus to reveal areas where you think, look, God, is there any areas in me where I am off base, where I'm out of line, where I'm off track here? God, will you show this to me? Will you reveal this to me? And God is not going to turn us away when we seek him genuinely like that. His word says, look, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. All right, so seek him, but let him search you. Search the Scriptures and let God search you. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. And in fact, the worship team can come back up because we're going to close with one more song. But here's what I want to encourage you to do this week, okay? This is kind of the challenge or, you know, a suggestion. Find some time this week to get alone with God in prayer and just ask him, Jesus, are there areas of my life where I am off base in my thinking and beliefs about who you are, about who you truly are? Right? Where, if anywhere, have I been deceived by the enemy and I have not realized it? Because I want to know you for who you truly are. I want the real deal, not some cheap knockoff. Right? So help me to see where maybe I've bought into a lie, whether it's subtle or obvious in my life, and help me to get it right. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So if you do these two things, if we can do these two things, search the Scriptures and let God search you, we'll be putting on that belt of truth and establishing ourselves in a genuine and honest relationship with Jesus. And that's so important in our spiritual battle. We're going to close our time of worship here with a song that's called Here's My Heart. And it's really simply going to be just a prayer that we would be willing to say, God, you know me. You know my heart. So I want to bear it before you and ask you to search me and help me to know if there's any way that's off. Because I want your truth. I want you to speak truth into my life. Let's pray and then we'll close in song. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your word, your words to us, how significant they are, how important they are. Thank you for wanting a genuine and honest relationship with us. That it's not just about us going through the motions. It's not just something that kind of requires us to do certain things, but it's about walking closely with you. And we need to do that in truth. So help us to seek you. Help us to search the Scriptures in that so that we can know you better, but also to allow you to search us as well so that our hearts can be right in line with what you want for us. God, help us to do that in the days ahead and speak to us, we pray, as we take a step of faith. in this area. We offer you our hearts this morning, and we worship you with this song. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.